Okay, before the break, we have started looking at the section of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. And we indicated that the message is that you should not brag about spiritual leaders, because everything in God's creation serves you. And because you are in Christ, you belong to God. And I gave reason, three reasons really, why we put the message in that way, even though the word man is used, but we didn't use it in that message. The first reason we say that is that boasting can be viewed either positively or negatively. Now, negatively, boasting is an outward display of sin. Now, positively, boasting is trusting and being extremely joyful in who God is and what He does. The second reason that we gave is that the way we put the message keeps the apostle from contradicting what he wrote in his second epistle to the Corinthians. Because if we don't see what he wrote, if we didn't cast it that way, we know that he wrote no more boasting in verse 21, whereas in 2 Corinthians we have examples of him boasting or somebody else boasting, which he approved, which means he cannot be wrong. So there must be a way to ensure that there's no contradiction. The third reason is that the context of 1 Corinthians 3 verses 21 through 23 demands his approach, especially since the apostle had indicated there is problem with partisanship and so forth. So we indicated that verse 21 should begin with the word "for this reason," and the reasons being what the apostle stated in verses 19 and 20. Now, so we continued to look at then at the instruction, no more boasting about men. So what we're doing is looking at the key words, simple as they appear. So we have been looking at the word men, from which I told you the Greek word is from where we get our English word anthropology. So we have been looking at it, and before the break, we saw that the Greek word may mean the inner being of a person. So that is the way the Greek word is used in Ephesians 3 verse 16, which is what we'll have read before we went to break. Ephesians 3 verse 16 reads, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Now that phrase "inner being" is literally from the Greek inner man, because of anthropos. Now in our passage though of 1 Corinthians 3:21, the Greek word is used in the sense of a person or a man. Now the context is concerned with teachers of God's word who have been or are still in Corinth at the time the apostle wrote this epistle, that led to the partisanship in the local church in Corinth. Now again, you have to remember why it is important, in spite of what we see today, where the church has walked away from holding the meaning of the word of God in so many places, that you now have what they call the women pastors. That is not authorized in the scripture. I know all over the world it's not accepted. But that's people not looking at the Bible. So here, in this particular context, it actually means men. Because only men are given the gift of being pastors and teachers. Therefore then, the apostle was not speaking then of people in general, but those who are teachers of the Word of God. It is because of this understanding that we use the term in our message, spiritual leaders. We didn't use the word men, we use the word spiritual leaders because of this fact. As we presented the message of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 through 23. Now, by the way, the 2011 edition of the NIV has recognized this interpretation I gave you. In other words, instead of men, that it should be spiritual leaders. So that the 2011 edition of the NIV, instead of using the word men now, they use the phrase human leaders. So if you consult the 2011 edition, or if that's what you have, you should be reading human leaders instead of men, because they have realized it is the right thing to use human leaders. But we use spiritual leaders. So the apostle wanted the Corinthians to stop boasting about any of the teachers of God's word, as he had already conveyed that each minister of God's word carries out his assigned task by the Lord, and so should not be compared to another teacher in such a way as to be the object of partisanship. Again, we have studied that in detail to see God gives spiritual leaders different tasks and assigns them differently. So that when we think about pastors, God assigns pastors to local congregation based on his plan. So a pastor that serves well in one group may not serve well in the other. So that is the thing that is really not necessary to begin to do comparison. Now, be that as it may, the apostle had a reason for prohibiting boasting about spiritual leaders. But before we go to that, let me make a few comments about boasting in general, so that we recognize that we should be careful regarding taking pride either in our accomplishments or in another. Of course, we have already noted that boasting could be right or wrong, depending on the reason for it. However, the apostle is much more concerned with the wrong kind of boasting. The wrong kind of boasting. Now, this we know not only because of the passage that we are considering, but what the apostle states later about being proud because of one's achievement or success in a series of questions we're going to explore later on by the grace of God at the right time. But for now, let's just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 reads, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Now, so the questions in this passage of 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 are intended to cause us not to boast about our success or achievements, because such are from God and not our own doing. So anyway, there is more to the wrong type of boasting that we find in the scripture to warrant examination of the subject in a little more detail. Now, we've already noted that boasting could be considered negatively or positively. Now, recall that boasting viewed negatively involves arrogantly praising of oneself, while positively it is trusting and being extremely joyful, that is, to rejoice in whom God is and what He has done. So our examination of the subject of boasting will focus primarily on the negative boasting for three reasons. First, the scripture has much to say about negative boasting. Now, normally you don't give instruction to someone who is doing something right. You don't do that. If somebody is doing what's right, you don't give an instruction. It's always when we go wrong that we get instruction. Of course, that's why the Bible also tells us law is given for lawbreakers. If you don't break the law, it doesn't matter. If I say don't steal, if you don't steal, what does that matter to you? It doesn't apply to you, and so on. So that's the thing that we're saying, that because of our tendencies to get in the wrong boasting than it is of the right one, that we have much more in the scripture regarding negative boasting. Second, it is the one that believers should avoid, as we will note later. That's why we're going to look at it in a little more detail. Third, positive boasting is essentially the same as praising God, which is commanded or commended also in the scripture. Now, that boasting or positive boasting is equivalent to praising God may be deduced from Psalms 44, verse 8. Psalms, and hold on to Psalms. Psalms 44, verse 8. I'm going to use that and other passages. I come back to it just to prove that point that I made, that positive boasting is equivalent to praising God. Psalm 44, verse 8 reads, "In God we make our boasts all day long, and we will praise your name forever." See, that the word boast is translated from a Hebrew word, halal, that may have negative or positive meanings. Now, positively, the Hebrew word means to praise. That is, of course, to extol the greatness or excellence of a person, or an object, or an event. As a psalmist, use it to promise his activity of praising God among his people in Psalms 22, verse 22. Psalms chapter 22, verse 22. Psalms 22, verse 22 reads, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will hallow you." Well, that's the word praise. So he said, "I will praise you." I just put the word Hebrew hallow, because that's what it means. Now, it is also, though, in the sense of to praise, that the word is used in the instruction to avoid self-praise. It is used to tell us, don't praise yourself. Let others do that. That's the instruction. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Still holy, I put something in Psalms though. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. It reads, Proverbs 27, verse 2, read, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, someone else, and not your own lips. In other words, contrary to the way majority of the people in this country think, self-praise is against God's word. In other words, for some reason, many people like those who can, what do you say, toot their horn? Something like that. And that's what people are, for some reason, I can understand that. And these are Christians. And you are impressed with the person who tells you how great he or she is. The Bible says, that shouldn't happen. If you're a great person, let others talk about you. You don't talk about yourself. You don't tell them, I did this, and I'm this, I'm not. No, you don't do that. Because that's what it says. Let another praise you. You don't do it, it says, and not your own mouth. Someone else, not your own lips. Now, negatively though, the Hebrew word may mean to be arrogant or to boast, as it is used in the psalmist's confession regarding his attitude towards the wicked that prospered, as we read in Psalms 73, verse 3. Psalms 73, verse 3. Psalm 73, verse 3 says, I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now that phrase, the arrogant, is literally from the Greek and from the Hebrew, the boastful, which is a way to translate the Hebrew participle that literally means the boasting, which in this Psalms refers to a person that is characterized by boasting and by pride. Now the fact that our Hebrew word then may mean to praise or to boast, it's probably the reason then that in the second line of Psalms 44 verse 8, the psalmist wanted to convey that the word boast used in the first line should be understood positively. Hence, in the second line, the psalmist used a Hebrew word, yada, that actually means to praise or to give thanks. Very similar to the name Judah. Anyway, therefore, we are correct then to say that to boast in a positive sense means to praise. Now, I know sometimes I take you to a long way, right? But this is so that if you master it, you know how to defend yourself. Because I made a statement that yes, to boast when related to God can mean to praise Him. So that's all we have tried to do to show that that's true. And that's what I've just done. Anyway, that aside, there are several facts we should focus regarding negative boasting. By the way, to keep from using the phrase negative boasting, we will simply use the word bragging. I mean, every now and then I stick it in, but in other words, since bragging is a shorter word to describe the negative boasting that involves pompous or boastful statement, we just stick the word brag. So with that in mind, we begin to look at some facts regarding this whole idea of negative boasting or bragging. A first fact is that bragging is that which characterizes a world that is in rebellion against God. Bragging, that belongs to the world. It is for this reason that the Holy Spirit directed John, Apostle John, to include boasting as part of the world system. There are certain things that we call the world system. That is the thing that the world really appraises by, part of it. And part of it is boasting. As in 1 John 2 verse 16. Again, a world system is, at least the way it is said here, is you sell yourself. And in many cases, people are lying. And you can see that like, oh, they say, make your resume look attractive and also on and so forth. People pad it up with lies of what they did in natural do. But because they are trying to fit to the world system. World system. Here it is, for everything in the world, they are here the world system. So here are part of what's in the world systems. The cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. Say, comes not from the Father, but from the world. That's all those manifestation of world system. Now the boasting indicated, I mean here associated with the world, is certainly negative. As indicated not only in this passage of 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 16, but also from the fact that the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, makes us aware that there is a boasting that is in keeping with the world standard, which he refused to follow in his own boasting, as we may gather from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. Second Corinthians 11, verse 18. Second Corinthians 11, verse 18. It reads, since many are boasting in the way the world does, so that tells you there's a way the world does it, I too will boast. Now, of course, the world's boasting or bragging is conveyed in that verbal phrase, in the way the world does. So the apostle is going to boast, but it's not going to follow that standard where the world, you know, pack it with lies and exaggeration and so forth and so on. He's going to tell what's facts. So his is a little bit different. So the fact that the world has a standard of boasting then, or bragging, leads to the second fact we should consider. We've noted that bragging is part of the world system. The second fact about bragging is there are several reasons people get involved in it. There are several reasons people get involved in bragging. A sense of superiority will lead a person to brag or to boast. Once you have that sense of superiority, you start bragging. Now this was the case with Simon the sorcerer, who, because of the attention he garnished from his people because of his sorcery, boasted or bragged about his greatness, as recorded in Acts chapter 8 verse 9. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Acts chapter 8 verse 9 reads, "Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great." Now, of course, you notice the cause of what caused him to do that. People gave him so much attention, which is part of the problem we face today with what we so-called celebrities, because people giving them too much attention. And I see it. Those are things that I just, as a believer, I can get it. I don't get it. I'm not saying people, you know, do what they want, but I just don't get it. Why you think so much of a fellow human being just because they can do this or do that? Now, when I say this, it reminds me of something that happened many years ago when one of the powerful men one of the administrations had to come and give commencement speech in the university where I was. Only limited people were allowed in the reception, the head of departments, dean, and so forth. So I was there, and all of them were going there, checking in. I stayed where I was. And they said, "Look at me like, where are you from? You don't want to go?" I said, "For what?" And they just, they were just surprised. I said, "Yeah, he's a powerful man, so what?" So you see, it is we, the society, that create all these people with fat head. Because we give them the attention they don't deserve. So when you do that, that's what makes them think highly of themselves. That's what this Simon was doing, because we were giving him so much attention. If you don't give people attention that way, they come down to the earth and realize who they are. But when we start, looking for, write something on newspaper or get my handkerchief, let them write something, and I look at those, I just shake my head. What's in the people's thinking? This kind of adorations belong to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, if he came here, they wouldn't go. Because he be saying something they don't want to hear. Anyway, the point is, when people give too much attention to others, it creates, gets their head swollen up. And that is what happened to this guy, Simon. Because people were giving attention to him, dragging to him. Because he said, again, and amazed all the people in Samaria. And so, it is in the same sense of feeling of superiority that caused Haman to brag or boast about several things that convey his superiority over others, as we read in Esther chapter 5, verse 11. Esther chapter 5, verse 11. Esther chapter 5 verse 11 reads, "Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials." See that sense of superiority. He was feeling it. And that's why he's talking about it. And so Haman's bragging or boasting included the next reason, though, papal boast, which is their possession of great wealth, as indicated in Psalms 49, verse 6. Psalms 49, verse 6. Psalms 49, verse 6 reads, "Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches." Now, so another reason people brag or boast is their success. Their success. Now, this reason, although could be related to great wealth, but wealth is not the only thing that may mean that people are successful. Now, there are other things that define success about which people brag or boast. A person may brag of success in business. Now, this could mean that a person will brag of the success of knowing how to negotiate a business deal to the person's advantage. It is this kind of bragging regarding business success that is stated in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 14. It is, "It is no good, it is no good," says the buyer. Then off he goes and boasts about his purchase. And this is what it says. "It's no good, it's no good," says the buyer. Then off he goes and boasts about his purchase. Now, this verse describes then the act of bargaining regarding goods to be sold, where the buyer, not being quite truthful, puts down the product offered for purchase. Now, it's not like there are many parts of the world where they go to market where you haggle about the price. It's not like where you go, it's already marked. You know, they'll say, "Oh, $20 is okay." In some practice, they'll say, "Okay, I give you 40. It's okay, ready. So now I give you 10. And, you know, then keep playing until you get it. In some other places, you say that where they have gold, they say, "Yeah, $20 is okay, I give you 10. And you might wind up being selling it $5. But that's just the way they, what they do. That's the practice by which we have this verse. So the individual here claims that there is something not right with the product. Or the individual says that the product is of poor quality. Only so that the seller will not drag on the purchase price. In short, the buyer displays an act of buying something by beating down the price. And that's, the person will say, "Oh, I don't think this product is that good, but anyway, I offer you this." And that is part of the worldly wisdom. And a lot of young men do that, use that. So they see a girl who is foolish and makes her believe she's ugly or whatever they wanted to believe, to bring her down, so that when they now come to approach her for some nonsensical thing, because her self, you know, she doesn't have this confidence in whom the Lord has made her, she now gives in easily because she's already been dressed down. That's kind of thing, which is part of worldly wisdom. A believer who knows male or female, it doesn't matter. If you know yourself in Christ, what a person tells you doesn't matter. you may be, you know, if a young lady, you may be very attractive and somebody says you ugly. Or you may be, in your judgment, ugly, which personally, I don't think any woman is ugly. Unless their character. That's the only way I see an ugly woman. Because every woman is beautiful. God created them that way. But when it's acting ugly, then that woman is ugly. Other than that, if you're a believing lady, you shouldn't let somebody put you down. Because of how you look or don't look. Now, so these people who use worldly wisdom, they come in and say, oh, this price, that's too high. This product is not that good. And then the person, not knowing what it is, say, okay, I agree to whatever price you say. And he buys it. But once the buyer bids down the price and purchases from the buyer, then the individual brags regarding what good purchase the person made. That's what the whole idea of this Proverbs 20 verse 14. Doesn't such success could cause a person to boast of being a good negotiator or one skilled in the art of making a business deal. It is not only success in a business that could lead to bragging, but also success in military conflict that could cause a person or even a nation to brag of his success. It is this kind of bragging that the Lord, through prophet Isaiah, charged the king of Assyria, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 10 through 15. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 10 through 15. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 10 through 15. It reads, as my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and a haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand, that's boasting, I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I remove the boundaries of the nations. I plundered their treasures like a mighty one. I subdued their kings. As one reaches into a nest, so my hand reached for the wealth of the nations. As men gather abundant eggs, so I gathered all the countries. Not one flapped a wing or opened his mouth to chop. Does the axe raise itself above him who swings it? Or the sword boasts against him who uses it? As if a rod were to wield him who lifts it up, or a club brandishes him who is not wood. Now here is the thing is, the king of Assyria, in this context, did not know that he was carrying out God's plan. So he boasted of his military power. He didn't realize God was using him as an instrument to judge all this nation, including his covenant people Israel. But he was boasting. Of course, eventually, the Lord punished the Assyrian according to what the prophet wrote. Anyway, the point is that military success who cause a person or a nation to brag of it. Still another factor that is the basis of boasting, is a person's appearance. It is this that the Holy Spirit mentioned through Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, that I cited before. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Again, it reads, "We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart." Now, the clause, "so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart," is literally, "in order that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in the heart." So a person may not necessarily boast in words because of appearance, but may display the boasting that is based on appearance by acting in a way that shows that the individual relies on appearance to get advantage over others. Now, again, that's part of what we see in this country and all over the world, where people do all this thing, they worship what they call celebrities. Say a lady looks attractive, and that becomes, oh yeah, that means that opens the door for her. And of course, you know, here again, men who have no knowledge or that's really so shallow fall for those kind of things. And I'm not making this up, because the scripture makes us realize that's what humans do. And that reminds me of and I think it was an experiment done by ABC and one of these shows, and where they took a young lady, very slim, charity, whatever, have her stuck on the highway with her car, and the men were dashing to help her. They took the same lady, put the suit and make her look fat and all that, and they all drove past away. What does the point here? How foolish people are. What does a person's appearance have to do with anything? But that's what, when people know that, all these people who recognize that that's what people do when they are in those fields, then you see them carry themselves beyond what is required of them. Because, again, they're using their appearance. Even though they don't really say, "I am boasting about it," but they're using it, they're boasting, because that's what they are relying to open doors for them. Now, a third factor about bragging is that there are specific cases of boasting that should be avoided according to the scripture. There are specific cases. It is specifically forbidden for a person to boast regarding a person's evil action, as we read in Psalms 52, verse 1. Psalms 52, verse 1. Psalms 52, verse 1 reads, "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God?" Now, so there are those who are powerful, that they do things to people and brag about them. They do wrong things, but they brag about them. For example, there are those involved in organized crime and boast of those they have killed, or those they have maimed. Now, such boasting is wrong. So also, of course, their criminal activities. Now that aside, though, there are some who have no problem boasting about something bad they have done. They have no problem boasting. And the society, that's one of those things that I'm going to mention in the passage here now, to tell you the kind of decadency that we are facing in this country and all over the world today. So there are those who do things that are bad, and they boast, and people seem to apply it and make movies about it. For example, there are some men who boast of having sex with so many women. Now, such boasting is wrong, since that is boasting about sin. But, you know, people think it's cute, whatever. So, boasting about any kind of sin shows that a person does not have a sense of shame, which characterizes a person or groups of people that have rejected God. When you find a group of people, they reject God, they have no sense of shame. And that's what's prevalent now in our society here. People have no shame. I mean, there are things that just, you wouldn't have even, so no one would have even uttered a word of it, maybe last 50 years in this country. But now, it's everywhere. Because there's no sense of shame. Shame is very important in the functioning of a society. This is why people do anything they want, because no kind of shame attached to anything. And no wonder we do read what we read in Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 15 reads, "Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No. They have no shame at all." That's described as society today. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. So the point is that if you do something wrong, it will be adding to the sin to boast about it. Now such boasting really is tantamount to defiant sinning. That's part of defiant sinning. You've done something wrong and you boast about it. You are defying God. In other words, a person who boasts of the wrong thing the individual has done, in effect, is daring God to do something about the person's failure. Of course, God acts in his own way and time. But people may not connect the sin boasted by the sufferer to whatever is being suffered at a later time. Can I get reminded of all of us? God doesn't act like you and I. Well, we react immediately. He doesn't do that. He knows his best time in his plan. So that's why I say, I may do something today, and he's displeased about it. 20 years down the road, he brings back. That's the right time he's determined to judge me, to discipline me for it. And they will look around and say, why? What is that happening to him or her? Well, just remember, God doesn't forget anything in the sense of this is his plan. This is his punishment. But it's timing that is the issue. So when people do certain things and when we go through certain things, don't always ignore the fact there may have been a connection of something I did or you did, that's what God is bringing this to you at this time. Don't forget that. Anyway, it is wrong though to boast about sinful conduct of any kind. Now, another kind of boasting or bragging that is specifically prohibited in the scripture is that of boasting about what will take place in the future or the next day. Now, it is this kind of bragging or boasting that is prohibited by God in Proverbs 27 verse 1. Proverbs 27 verse 1. Proverbs 27 verse 1 reads, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Now this passage warns against bragging about what one will do the next day or in the future, because only God controls what is in the future. But he controls what's in the present too. Now James elaborated on this warning by indicating that people should not boast of the next day, because they may not live to see tomorrow, since no one is guaranteed to live the next day. Hence, he provided the appropriate way of thinking or talking about tomorrow by indicating that we should preface our plans by indicating that whatever we are planning that day will be carried out if it is God's will, as is stated in James chapter 4, verses starting through 15. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, we know, as I've said, all of us, if you want to think about, we are all hanging on a very thin thread. The Lord can snap it just like this. None of us knows. I mean, especially when you're in a certain age, you don't think you're going to die. The truth of the matter, we don't know. Any of us, you don't have to. See, this is one of those things I think is very deceiving. Someone says, I'm in perfect health. What does that mean? Nothing. You can be in perfect health and die tomorrow. See, it has nothing to do with anything. Now, I think personally, when I think about all these things we're trying to do, exercise, and which is all good, we must do them. My argument is always, it is to make the quality of your life better. That's all it is. It does not improve the number of days you're going to stay on this planet. None. It's not going to change that. But at least feel good while you're still alive. That's why it's important to watch what you eat and do exercise, especially exercise, as the scripture tells us, is very useful. But don't use those things and say, well, that's what's going to prolong my life. Because that's what you hear in the news. Those who know nothing about God. And they say, if you have done that, that will have prolonged his or her life. Says who? Because God is clear. No one lives on this planet until the time allotted is over. That means you cannot prolong it one day. Anyway. So a fourth fact about bragging is that God, through his work or his works in the past, had undercut any basis for boasting. God had undercut, through his works, any basis for boasting. Now this fact is demonstrated first with giving victory to Israel through Gideon. The Lord undercut any basis of bragging by providing Israel victory through 300 soldiers with the explanation that is so that Israel will not boast of victory, as we read in Judges chapter 7, verse 2. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. And hold on to that chapter. Judges chapter 7, verse 2 reads, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands.'" In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. God said, "No, you have too much military men here, soldiers, there are too many. Weed them out." So to ensure that Israel had no basis of boasting, see, if they went to that war with, let's say, two divisions of army, and they win, they say, "Yeah, we're great." And God said, "No, you're going to go only with 300 men." And so the one went with 300 men, as we read in verses 7 and 8. Look at verses 7 and 8. Judges 7, verses 7 and 8. He reads, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place.' So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley." And if you read the whole thing, you see how God used only 300 men, routed a whole big army. And so, can say he can boast about it, only 300. So that's mathematically impossible from the, or even from military perspective. There's just no way you're going to use 300 men. And in some places, just a company to go against a division. Just doesn't happen when both are equally equipped. In other words, if you have all the same kind of equipment with each other, you're matched. It becomes a question of number, which was the case, usually the case in the time of that the Bible was written. They didn't have all these jet fighters and shelling and all that. They didn't have any of those things that you can use to soften the enemy. They didn't have any of those. Of course, they had their own artillery in a different way, but it wasn't the same thing as well. So with that, they don't have advantage. It was only 300 men going against, let's say, 15,000 people. I just know there's no way. So if they have victory, they can say, "Well, we did it because we're a great army." That's what God was, that was his point. No boasting. Now anyway, more important than military victory, though, is eternal salvation. Remember what the point I'm making is, God has undercut the basis of any boasting. He's undercut it through his works. So that's why I pick up salvation. Now that the Lord had undercut any basis of boasting about salvation, because it's a gift through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is then stated in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It reads, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So this passage in Ephesians implies that no one relies on his or her good work will be saved. Now if God saved a person because of good works, then the person could boast. Of course, it is impossible for anyone then to be saved by good works because of the issue of original sin or what to do with sins of humans. So God could not arbitrarily ignore or forgive sin. So the point is that God, through making salvation a gift received by faith through Jesus Christ, had undercut any basis of boasting regarding salvation. Now here are my fellow believers. I don't know about you. Personally, I think about this daily. Whatever I see and enjoy in the spiritual life, I keep thanking God that it is His grace. Everything. Because there's nothing, I don't know about you, I can talk to about myself. There's nothing I desire from Him. Every blessing spiritually has been because of His grace, because of His goodness. So I have no basis to boast before any human being. So that's the thing. God has undercut all that. If you enjoy a great spiritual life, it's all His grace. So don't let your head swell up and so you look down on other believers who haven't reached where you are, whatever you think you are. We have to be always guided, understanding this, that we are nothing but the product of the grace of God. Everything about us, I don't know what, pick anything in your life and talk to me about it, I prove to you it's God's grace. So, we have stated them, facts that are necessary in dealing with negative boasting, but we should recognize that there is correct type of boasting. It is a type that is done in God. In other words, we are to boast only as it relates to God. Thus, the psalmist spoke about boasting in the Lord in Psalms 34, verse 2. Psalms 34, verse 2 reads, "My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." So really, what we're saying, we've already indicated the instruction given through Prophet Jeremiah regarding the right kind of boasting that is done in the Lord. Therefore, if you do the correct boasting, it must involve showing the greatness or the goodness of God. In other words, talk about it a lot. Boast about what God is doing in your life to other people. Show, talk to them about, see how good this God is to me. Some of us, we have a hard time doing that. And that calls into question your spiritual life anyway. Therefore, all I'm saying is, let's keep that mind. Talk about Him. Boast about Him. Tell Him, the God I serve, I know He can do this. He has done this. That's what the kind of boasting that's correct. Anyway, this brings me to the end of our study for today. But let me refresh your mind of the message that we're expanding that will continue next week, which is you should not brag about spiritual leaders because everything in God's creation serves you. And because you are in Christ, you belong to God. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here or someone listening over the internet. We want you to know of this great God, the love He has for you. That love is one that is displayed in action, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
will leave heaven, come into a world messed up by sin. He humbled himself, lowered himself, so that he can elevate you to the position of sonship with God. That is love of the type we cannot even imagine. He came, preached. We rejected him, because the Bible tells us we ignored him. The early, those who were with him, plotted to kill him. And all that because he came for that one purpose, to die for your sins and my sins. That's why he's described as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ came with that love. So no matter what we did, he keeps showing us his love. And finally, when he was arrested, taken to the cross, nailed, in spite of the pain and the suffering that he was going through, they were still mocking him. Come down, if you're God, Son of God, we believe you. He looked at them in that love, in that compassion, and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Same prayer applies to you. If you're an unbeliever now, he's saying to the Father, forgive you, because you don't know what you've been doing. Now, the offer is that you may have life. That is the offer that's been given to you, the offer of eternal life, so you can spend eternity with God forever. How? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. What are you going to believe? The Bible again says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believe in him, you have life through his name. If you believe that he came to this planet, died on your behalf, paid for your sins, and was buried, rose again the third day, if you believe these facts and accept them, you will receive eternal life. On the other hand, if you reject them, the Bible says you are condemned already. So be careful, because you are now moving towards hell. So believe in him and escape it. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to challenge us for the things we have studied today, so that we'll be mindful of boasting or bragging, but that we be mindful to praise you. This is our request in Christ's name.